Welcome to Your Career Podcast, the podcast that helps to ensure your career success. To start getting on track with your career, download my free career goals calendar from thecareersacademy.online. My goals calendar includes a SMART goals template and a weekly tasks sheet that will ensure step by step you get closer to reaching your career goals. So download my goals calendar today at thecareersacademy.online. Now on with the show. Welcome to episode 183 of Your Career Podcast. Well, hello, I'm your host, Jane Jackson, your career management coach on a mission to make careers guidance, inspiration, and advice accessible to all who need it. Your Career Podcast does just that, and there's plenty of career management and transition advice, personal branding and job search information, and interviews with fascinating professionals who have made amazing career changes. Now, today I have with me the founder and CEO of the Heart on Your Sleeve movement. He is an inspiring young man who is head of a worldwide social movement and services provider that is one of the fastest growing mental well-being initiatives in Australia. But before we launch into our interview, if you enjoy this podcast, please take a minute to leave a review on iTunes because, one, it's a nice thing to do, and two, it really helps this podcast to reach more people who may need support. And for ongoing career development and career transition support, one-on-one and group coaching sessions, go and join the Careers Academy online. And I'll see you there. Mitch Wallace is an emerging leader in the millennial generation with a lifelong mission to empower others to overcome suffering and reimagine the healing potential of the mind through the power of storytelling, conversation, and living with authenticity. I met Mitch a year ago at a golf charity fundraiser hosted by Linfluencers Dion Wu and Richard Ernster. At that time, I learned of his incredibly raw and relatable story of what it means to be human, and I knew I had to interview him on Your Career Podcast as he has made the most powerful career transition. Mitch Wallace is both inspiring and informative, providing insights into the fundamental aspects of experiencing and supporting others who suffer from mental health challenges. Mitch is able to break down an incredibly heavy and complex topic into an integrated and digestible narrative. He explores the darkest yet most insightful moments of his own mental health journey and its impact on his personal and professional life in the marketing and media industry. Now, after working at Microsoft for 7 years, Mitch now devotes himself full-time to helping solve the single biggest issue facing his generation, mental health. Now, let's welcome Mitch to the show. And welcome to the show, Mitch.
Thanks, Jane, for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's wonderful because I met you a little while ago when you were speaking at a golf tournament, actually, and I was so impressed with you founding Heart on My Sleeve that I thought I really need to find out a little bit more about you and the reason behind this whole movement. But as you know, this is Your Career Podcast and it's about career transitions. How about to kick us off, you tell us a little bit about your career aspirations in the early days when you were a little boy?
Yeah, it's funny how many changes we have in our life, and particularly with regards to where we think we're going to be. And I think career takes a very similar parallel to mental health in that we make up these stories in our head around, by the way, often unconsciously, around what we should or shouldn't be based on belief systems that we may or may not know that we've even inherited from our parents or our society or our school friends. And so very often when we grow into an adult, we feel lost either in our mental health or in our career. And it's because we've never really been able to do the work to find out what really drives us, what's really sitting beneath the surface and the stories that we've told ourselves. And so the story that I told myself as a young kid was that I wanted to be a doctor. In fact, I wanted to be a pediatrician. I think because from a young age, I was so desperate to be healed. You know, being I was first diagnosed with OCD and anxiety at 7 years old, and my mum found me repetitively touching the dashboard of her car, blinking over and over, saying the word God. And that's incredibly strange and unusual behavior. And so we went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "Well, yeah, Mitch has OCD and anxiety." And I didn't know what that meant at the time, other than something was wrong. And I was very different. And I was plagued and tormented by these intrusive thoughts and sensations. And I desperately, desperately wanted to be normal. And I desperately, desperately wanted to feel peace internally. And so I think from a young age, I wanted to be a healer. All I wanted to do was heal myself. And if I could, try and prevent anyone else going through the pain that I was going through. And I guess as a kid, pediatrics was, I was like, what's healing for kids? So I found out that big word, and that was always kind of the goalpost. And to this day, I actually have a broken wrist and a broken foot as we speak from a motorbike accident that I had about a month ago. And to this day, whenever I'm in hospital or at a GP's office, I still look at them like rock stars. You know, they are, to me, they're like watching your favorite singer on stage doing their thing. I'm just like, wow, you guys are engineers of the body. That like is just so mind-blowingly cool. So in some ways, I've still fulfilled my childhood dream of being a healer. I've just pivoted to what really matters to me, which is mental health and the mind.
Mm. You've made such a big pivot as well, because when you first started your career, and you had a fabulous career trajectory in the corporate field early on, where you started your career in marketing, you've qualified with a degree in marketing, and then you joined a large company, Microsoft, and then had a wonderful marketing career. And then it was a couple of years ago that you made the shift and the change. So what was it that made you want to get out of corporate?
You know, it's funny. Some people, there's a lot of talk around this, like when to jump, how to jump from the world that you don't want to the world that you do want. And that leap is kind of where a lot of science, a lot of philosophy, a lot of self-help is putting time and investment into helping people do. I didn't jump. I fell. That gap wasn't something that I like looked at and took a few running leaps at and went, all right, here we go, and boom. I'd always known that what I was doing was amazing, but not my true authentic calling in life. Mm. So there was a little bit of jump. And what I mean by that is that at Microsoft, where I worked for 7 years after finishing my undergraduate degree in commerce at Sydney Uni, and I was actually the youngest intern in the company at one stage, I went into that company because marketing was an emerging passion of mine, because it seemed like the intersection between business and creativity. So I was like, cool, I can meet two needs in one role. And I genuinely envisaged myself growing old in that career. All my parents have been in business and sales. And so it's kind of just something that's in my blood. It was while I was on that path that this niggling thing that was originally a soft voice became into a louder and louder voice, which is this your real passion? Mm. And what was emerging that started as a kid was the mind, the mind, the mind. Psychology was always like something on the side that seemed fundamental to every single component of life. And my psychology was so hard to wrap my head around that it's like that problem that you're desperately trying to solve, it became an obsession. And so as I turned more and more into my adult world, and I saw this Microsoft career growing and growing, and I was getting huge traction. I got an internship, got a graduate position, then worked my way up and up in the Australian subsidiary, then got promoted over to the States. I was global product marketing manager for Surface, which is Microsoft's hardware division. By the age of 25, I had global P&L responsibilities. I was in meeting rooms with Robert Downey Jr. I was flying to Milan, hosting parties at Design Week. And I was like, man, I've really landed on my feet here. This marketing thing rocks. I've got this amazing, the biggest company in the world is ushering me through this amazing career path. I'm on this development plan. But in parallel, there was almost like a termite eroding that satisfaction and sensation that I was achieving, saying, is this really what you were born to do? And as I said, I wasn't ever sure if or how those two things would come together. And it wasn't until when I was over in the States working for Microsoft, my mental health started to deteriorate at a rate of knots that it hadn't before. Now, as I alluded to earlier, this isn't unfamiliar territory. I've suffered from incredibly bad mental ill health as a kid. But in your mid-20s, I believe, is a time where a lot of things come to the surface because you're trying to figure out who you are. And so some of the things and demons and wounds and insecurities that might have been mutable, if that's a word, or at least controllable, become harder and harder to deal with your regular coping mechanisms. And so in a desperate lunge for safety, literally to try and keep myself afloat, I asked my manager for annual leave, and I applied to do my master's degree in psychology over at Columbia University in New York. And I literally flew over there to start an intensive short semester. And in the first hour of the first day, I remember thinking to myself, this is what I was put on the earth to do, without a doubt in my mind. I want to help heal myself. And if and when that happens, I want to help others heal and reimagine the power of their mind so that they don't go through what I've been through. So that childhood dream coming to life. And in a way that was unavoidable now. It was so loud and I just could not turn the volume down. Now, thankfully, those two things reconciled one another because shortly after that, answering the calling, I would say, in quite a spiritual esoteric way, but when I answered that call and then when I was ready to genuinely look internally to start healing properly and when I was ready to look externally to start really pursuing my passion, that's when I think a lot of people think that's like the golden moment where everything goes right. But in a lot of cases, what I've heard and I've personally experienced is for that to come true, the old layers have to shed and crumble. And so this is where we lose a lot of people following their dreams because they get to the point of the mountain where they say, enough's enough. I want to be me. I want to be real. I want to be authentic. And they expect just the universe and mountain to be just delivered. And what actually happens is the universe says, okay, you've made the hard decision, which is I want to live this new life of meaning and purpose. But in order to get you there, we're going to have to put you through the pressure cooker to get you ripe. And I wasn't ready for that. No one had told me because I was just ready to say, I've now answered the calling and I want to do my inner work and outer work. And then when things got harder, I was like, oh shit, this is bad. This is real bad. This is not part of the plan. This is not what I signed up for. But really what I can look back now and say is it was my transition into this new space. And part of that meant shedding a bunch of layers, which is painful. Healing is sometimes painful. Pursuing your passion is sometimes painful. And it's not an easy journey. But if someone had told me that that doesn't mean that it's going wrong, in fact, it should be expected that it could be an indicator that something's going right and then growing, the pain would have been a lot less and the path would have been a lot more smooth. And so I did answer that call. I did fall apart into a million pieces. And the reason I'm still here and the reason that I now run a charity called Heart on My Sleeve and it's turned into a social movement is that I found one person's video on YouTube that saved my life. I was in a, as I said, a complete and utterly broken man. I had no idea where to turn to. I was so lost. I didn't know who I was. And I saw a guy's video on YouTube that was the first time in my life that I had ever heard anyone recount a story that was similar to mine. People had said they were anxious or depressed or lost, but no one had got to a level of vulnerability and detail that this guy had. And it was what I call the first day of healing for me, because I believe we can go our entire lives meditating, yogaing, medicating, running after problem solving left, right, and center. But until we are willing to actually turn inward and say, why am I hurting? and someone say, I really, really get it. For you to see yourself in someone else, to see the possibilities of what could be in the flesh, incarnate, like a blueprint staring you in the face, I don't truly believe that you get to the broken bone. You just are constantly band-aiding and treading water. But when someone you see has this amazing, your potential embodied and you feeling understood and not alone, I think that is the strongest catalyst. You know, seeing what you want in someone else is the strongest catalyst for growth and healing. And that's where my new journey started, is like, maybe this is possible. It was the first time I actually believed in myself properly, that I could live a life of health, not illness. It was the first time I believed that I could pursue passion and change for other people with their mental health. So I quit my job at Microsoft. I moved back to Australia. I moved in with my parents and had nothing left through that 7-year shiny career, young guy on a mission trajectory, looking to take over Microsoft, down the drain. And I went down to Balmoral Beach and I drew a heart on my arm and I told my story. And I said, if I can be Harris, which is the name of the guy of the video that I saw, if I can be Harris for one other person, all this pain's been worth it. And I didn't know what would happen after that video, but at the end of it, as a marketing guy, I went, well, what do I want people to do? And so I drew a heart on my arm and I said, if this resonates with you, you should tell your story too. Wear your heart on your sleeve. And within a week, that video had reached 1 million people. And that night I was on the national news. And within a month, a global movement started called Heart on My Sleeve, which is now one of the fastest growing mental health organizations in the country. And I am now well and truly in the middle, thriving in my calling, which I'm abundantly grateful for.
You know, it's such an interesting story right from the beginning, where you had an amazing career trajectory in the corporate sector, but it didn't feel authentic. And then having something happen that was so powerful that made you realize what the calling was. And this is what really resonated so much with me, was that you were living what you believed was your calling, but it became so hard. And this phrase, you know, why am I hurting? That's very, very powerful, isn't it? And so now to find that in another human being, it's that connection that we're all reaching out for, isn't it? And yeah. Through Heart on My Sleeve, you're reaching everybody, because it's not just you who's hurting. So many people really are hurting. And it's incredible how very quickly this movement has grown. And so in the video, can we see the heart on your on your arm? That's fantastic. I've seen your other photos with it. It's such a powerful image. Amazing sleeve on your arm.
that you've
got there,
Mitch. It warms my heart.
Yeah. Oh, it's fantastic. And so now with Heart on My Sleeve, how are you getting the message out to absolutely everybody?
Yeah. Just before that, I wanted to pick up on one point you just said, which is really, really important, in that all the work that I did previously in this life of my other career is far from lost. In fact, it was the path that has got me here. It was just training. I didn't know I was in training, but I was in training, because ultimately what I do on a day-to-day basis hasn't changed that much. I'm still a marketing guy. I have P&Ls to run. You know, it's just I've changed the vertical in which I apply it to. I don't apply it any longer to technology. I apply it to mental health. And so I'm a big believer in, you know, people want to fulfill their lives with meaning and passion and service. And they say, I need to go out and like find my calling. And I'm like, what I would look at first is where you can have impact. Because if you're not a carpenter, going over to Africa and trying to assemble a hut that's probably going to fall down is not a good thing. And that's just a concept that you want to feel. You know, you're doing it more for you than you are for someone else. So I say, break it down into a horizontal and vertical axis. Your horizontal is your skill set. My hammer and pliers is marketing, business, and entrepreneurship. That hasn't changed throughout my whole career. That's my method of giving back. I've just pivoted on the domain in which I apply it to. And so, you know, people are far closer to their calling and their true purpose than they think. You don't need to go and reinvent your skill set. You probably need to take what you're already good at and already passionate about and put it in an area where you feel like you're actually making a difference. And so how we make a difference now with Heart on My Sleeve is that we have the social movement, which is essentially, we've seen people all around the world draw or tattoo a heart on their arm, come forward and have a place to tell their story. So it's the platform. We call it the platform for understanding and feeling understood. We're providing an international digital way for people to make meaning from their pain and for other people to know they're not alone. We're kind of like the Me Too movement, but for mental health. And we're trying to empower people to own their story and then let their story be a blueprint for someone else and then let go of their story so that they can live and thrive beyond that. What's been super cool is that outside of the social movement, all the social media and the podcast that we've built and the pledge campaign that we have and all that great activity, we have really established ourselves as kind of like the extension of Are You Okay? We're the I'm Not Okay organization. We're the organization that advocates for I'm putting my hand up and flagging when I need a conversation. And so I want to wear my heart on my sleeve to say that I need help. And so I'm really proud of the kind of part of the mental health solution that we've carved out, which is empowerment of people going through it, not necessarily supporters being empowered to ask the question. So we feel like we've really contributed to a more balanced conversation in Australia and soon to be globally. And how we're enabling that is through a couple of key work streams where we've actually built a services provider organization. That it's not just the social movement, it's not just the things that we do to tell stories. We've created meaningful programs and standalone social enterprises that feed that movement. For example, we have a program called Real Mates, which is where we go and upskill people in organizations, corporate organizations, and in society to become custodians or champions of mental health. They become an accredited Heart on My Sleeve Real Mate, where they are fully equipped to have and host these challenging emotional conversations with someone. They know how to triage, how to manage, what to do. And our mission is to put a real mate in every organization in the country. And we've already seen huge traction with KPMG, with Microsoft, soon to be American Express, and a whole bunch of very large companies where we're going in and creating a well-being army for these companies of people who want to say, I want to lean in, I want to be a safe place, because we believe everyone has a right to a safe place or a safe person. We've also got another program called Real Leaders, where we go in and help organizations transform their culture, building an emotionally intelligent leadership team, building a mentally healthy framework for their organization and a strategic plan. It sounds like we're at time. I could talk forever on this, but to summarize,
this is so important what you're doing. And just to take you back, there's one phrase that you said that I think really is important, is for people to put their hand up and say, I'm not okay. Correct. Because we do have, you know, obviously the Are You Okay Day, and then the onus is on others to say, you know, like obviously be aware if someone doesn't seem quite right, you know, reach out and connect. But I think if we're in pain, if we don't say help, you know, I need someone to talk to, people assume that we're fine.
Correct.
You know, people always assume that we're fine, but I love this. I'm not okay. And it's okay to be vulnerable and to reach out. But tell us a little bit more about these programs. So Real Mates, amazing program. That really is going to be powerful in all organizations. Yeah. And Real Leaders. And I believe there's more.
Well, I mean, my problem is that one of the roles of my board is actually to control Mitch, is to hold me in a nice little bubble, because I'm so passionate that it can be a gift and a curse. And my business lens sees so many opportunities. And sometimes people need to say, hey, come back to what we do well. Come back to the focus. Come back to where we have impact. And so there's probably 8 or 9 programs that Heart on My Sleeve does that we've scaled back to the social movement that has a few offshoots to it, whether it be the podcast, the e-learning that we do around storytelling, the pledge campaign, but I bucket that into one thing. And then the 2 kind of service provider offerings. There's a bunch of other stuff that we've looked at around consultancy and some other work streams, but we're really putting that on hold so that we can get it right. Tops down and bottoms up with our 2 core service offerings and enable the movement to exist. And we've played around with lots of different models to get that going. And we're finally getting to a stage of sustainability where We're a social enterprise with our two training services organizations. So we charge companies to run them, and that money is used to run them and then funnel the rest of it into the movement to create the money that it needs to survive as a charity without needing donations. So our goal has been to become a donation-free organized charity, which is seems like an oxymoron, within the next 3 years, because we want to be self-sustaining and show that it's okay to pay for services that are valuable. And there are other ways to think about how you make an organization grow other than just handouts. So it's forced us to see how we can deliver value at every touch point.
It's such an incredible movement. And you know what? I think everything that's happened in your life, and we always say, I know it sounds like a cliche, but it was all for a reason. And with your incredible pedigree and training from Microsoft and being qualified in marketing in Microsoft, that definitely was a training ground. And your pivot,
100%.
Leveraging those skills and experience, rather than making a complete change, you've actually used that in order to help to build this movement to such an incredible level. And it was meant to be. It was definitely meant to be. And so now, Mitch, if people want to join this movement and if they want to help, or if they want help themselves, what would be the best thing that you would recommend that they do?
So great question. At the moment, the best thing to do is follow along on our social media, Instagram, Facebook, et cetera, at Heart on My Sleeve. Soon, in the next few weeks, we'll be launching our new website where they can take a number of actions depending on if they want help or they want to give help. If they want help, we will have a bunch of resources on the page that will enable them to connect with other like-minded people or find other help-seeking resources. If they want to give help, we have information on how to tell your story if you're in a place to do so, how to sign up to become a real mate, either in your company or in your organization. You can take the pledge to pledge to speak up when you're not okay. So we have a form that you can fill online and make a public commitment that you will reach out for help when you're not doing well. And we know that your psychology has shown you're much more likely to stick to that commitment if you've made it publicly. So there's a bunch of ways to get involved with the movement and with Heart on My Sleeve, which will be live in the coming months. But for now, signing up to social media and following us, you'll be able to keep across all the progress of those campaigns and services.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is fantastic. This ties in so very, very well with some of the work that I do at New South Wales Police Legacy, because I think you're going to have a whole tribe of people who are going to be very, very interested in taking the pledge with you, because they're the ones who really need to reach out as well. Thank you so much, Mitch. It's been
such a
pleasure talking to you. You have so much passion and so much commitment, and I'm really, well, in a way, I'm sorry that you've felt the anxiety all your life, but you have, because you are now the champion for everyone else who experiences this too. And I mean, what an amazing way to follow your calling. And thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure.
Thanks for having me, Jane.
You've been listening to Your Career Podcast with Jane Jackson. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on iTunes. I'll love you for it. And as promised, here's the link to your free job search guide. Go to www.thecareersacademy.online/free-job-search-guide. Too easy. Or go to my show notes and the link will be there. So hop over to janejacksoncoach.com/podcast. And remember, until next time, believe in yourself and create magic. If you enjoyed this episode of Your Career Podcast, I invite you to check out my Career Success Program at thecareersacademy.online. The Career Success Program is the original program that uniquely provides 24/7 on-demand career support and fortnightly live career coaching sessions to keep you on track to reach your career goals. It is the essential resource for anyone who wants to manage their career effectively, make a career change, and land the job they'll love. Whether you're in exploration mode or seeking a new career direction and need help to make it a reality, the Career Success Program is for you. Not only do you get access to my step-by-step roadmap to navigate your career crossroads, my extensive training library and exclusive members-only discounts and tools, you'll also become part of my supportive community of professionals who will help you with feedback, encouragement, and advice. All this and more makes the Career Success Program the number one place to be for anyone looking to start, manage, and grow their career. Check it out and join me at thecareersacademy.online.